This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back, Tom Hartman here with you. And we've been talking in the previous hour about the economy. There's just some really bizarre news about corporate debt that is worth revisiting. We'll check in on that an hour from now. Nick Ayers and Donald Trump and the possibility of President Pelosi and all kinds of things. But it's being announced right now that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dunford, who is scheduled to retire in 2019, has just announced that he's leaving office. Are the rats deserting the ship? For this hour, Congressman Ro Khanna is with us, answering your questions, taking your calls, listening to your lobbying, as it may be. I guess lobbying is the wrong word to use, but anyhow, U.S. Congressman from the 17th District, Vice Chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, khanna.house.gov is the website. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A. Congressman, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on.
It is always a pleasure and an honor. So two things. One, in the previous hour, we were talking about the possibility of a dual impeachment of Trump and Pence leading to President Pelosi, who could then rapidly reverse pretty much everything except the appointments to the Supreme Court. And you would think that if it was proven that Trump committed fraud against the Republican primary voters by concealing his affairs, his year-long affair with Karen McDougal and his one-night stand with Stormy Daniels from them, and then committed fraud against the American people, with the whole collusion thing with Hillary Clinton's emails and everything else, that if they had an ounce of integrity, they would resign, these two guys in the Supreme Court, and say, we're here by as a result of a criminal conspiracy. We can't continue to sit in these seats. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, that would require some sense of honor and decency, which I don't think either of them have. But, here's here are the facts. I mean, it's obvious to anyone who read the stuff about Cohen that Trump has committed a crime. I mean, you can't dispute that he has violated the law and that it is a crime. Now, what the argument in the House can be is whether the crimes are high crimes and misdemeanors for impeachment or not, but I don't see how you don't have hearings and move forward given that evidence. So, Mueller's report's going to come out, in my view, soon, and Nadler is equipped to do his job, and I think all of this is coming to a head pretty soon.
Yeah, there's one school of thought that suggests that his report is actually coming out right now in these indictments in dribs and drabs, but that when he's all done, it'll just be so obvious to anybody that the report itself would be perfunctory, essentially.
And I think he probably wants to protect if by some chance they're going to make the report confidential. Of course, the Democrats will fight to make sure that it's public, or at least a lot of it is public. But I think Mueller wants to make it clear to everyone what happened, whether the report sees the light of day or not.
Yeah. I should add to our listeners, you're going to be with us for the hour taking calls. Our number is 202-808-9925. I'm curious, finally, what's up with the Green New Deal?
So these young folks have been very impressive. In fact, right outside my office when I walked in were about 100 folks from the Sunrise Movement. They're in offices all over the Capitol today. Some of them have gotten arrested, and they're basically pushing for the Democrats to create a select committee to push for the Green New Deal, which is in 10 years, let's have a plan to get to 100% renewable energy. And there's some very specific things we could do, expand the electric vehicle tax credit so our fleet is electric as opposed to taking that credit away, which is what Trump wants. We've created this kind of committee before. Pelosi created it. She put Markey in charge of it. That led to the Waxman-Markey bill. We should do it again, and we should give some of the young, new freshmen a chance to be on the committee because they understand the urgency of the issue.
Yeah, that's great. It's good stuff. So, shall we pick up some phone calls here?
I'd love to.
Let's do it. Joe in Cupertino, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Congressman Khanna, how are you today? Really great to hear from you. I was calling to find out about your position here on, what is this, H.R. 1692? I think this is the anti-Israeli boycott, where apparently it's like a $250,000 fine or $1 million if you boycott I guess, the product of whatever comes out of the Palestinian-Israeli thing. There's 77 Democrats that are signing with 214 Republicans. In the free speech television, it seems to me that this is taking away somebody's free speech. If we talk about money and the right to vote or the and politics, and then you're telling people that if they boycott this decision in Israel, that they can go to prison. What's your opinion on that? I find that startling.
Well, Joe, I'm not on the bill. I believe we have a First Amendment in this country, and individuals should have the right to protest any country that they want. This is a freedom of speech, and the ability to be critical is a constitutional right.
John, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think that Winona LaDuke did a beautiful job of bringing together this whole idea of Green New Deal and economic justice for people, particularly indigenous people, but actually everyone throughout the world, and linking it to that and, just the amount of money that we're spending on trying to get this fossil fuel out of the ground, and then the companies don't want to take any responsibility for that, so it will fall back, you know, on the taxpayers and insurance companies. And it's all, you know, it's just absolutely over the top. I mean, we're talking about running pipelines under Lake Michigan across into, you know, the, across into Lake Superior. It is just astounding, you know, and we don't have to do that. And I think that Indian people really get it. And so, you know, Ocasio-Cortez, actually, her political career started at Standing Rock. That's when she decided to run. It's an international issue, and it can solve so many problems if we have a Green New Deal. And I'll let you explain about that.
Thank you, John.
Well, John, I think you're very eloquent. I mean, we have to care about the communities we live in, and some of the things like the Dakota Pipeline are destroying the quality of life, and they're destroying the quality of life the most in rural communities. I mean, not just the Dakota Pipeline, but you look at some of these factory farms that are there and that are polluting the water and the stench that is being created, and you look at the impact that climate change is having on crop yields. What it's having, of course, that everyone sees with the wildfires and the hurricanes. And so what people are saying is we need to take action that will create jobs in clean technology, in energy efficiency, very concrete jobs, manufacturing electric vehicles, retrofitting buildings, putting up solar and wind sources of energy, building the smart grid. These are going to be good-paying jobs, and we can put many of these jobs in rural communities, and at the same time, we can transition our economy into a 100% renewable energy economy, and that's going to improve the quality of life. It's going to improve our water. It's going to improve our air. So who loses? Why is there resistance? Well, obviously, all of the people who are invested in the fossil fuel industry, which is a large chunk of our economy still, they lose, and that's why you have resistance to the Green New Deal, which wants to help citizens and communities.
Thomas in Seymour, Illinois. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hello. I just have a short thing for a bumper sticker. Hindsight is 2020.
As a pun on the 2020 election, Thomas?
Yes.
Okay. Congressman Khanna, your thoughts?
That's pretty clever. I'll share that with some of the folks who'll be running. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we've been trying to come up with a bumper sticker here on the show for, you know, actually, a lot of these issues, you know, if we could just reduce them down to things that actually Trump followers could understand, which means reduce them down to a bumper sticker that's all, you know, mono and disyllabic words. It's like, well, one and two syllable words. Congressman Ro Khanna is with us taking your calls, 202-808-9925 for the hour. And we'll be right back with more of your calls for Congressman Khanna right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Congressman Ro Khanna is the vice chair of the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 17th District of California. Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A .house.gov is his website. And welcome back. Anthony in Lancaster, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, how's it going, Tom and Khanna? My name's Anthony.
Good.
I'm in California. So I want to talk about the growing wealth and economy in the country. Right now I'm working two part-time jobs and going to school and trying to make it better for a life situation for myself. But yet in California, you have all these like high taxes and, you know, there's the welfare state and all this different.
Anthony, if you're real low income, you're probably not paying any taxes in California or very much.
You know, I did my taxes on TurboTax and I actually messed up and I had to owe the federal government back, but That's my mistake. It's not the general. Yeah.
Well, and that's the federal government, not California. Pardon my interrupting you. Anyway, you were talking to Congressman Connor.
No, forgive me. I just want to hear his thoughts on like the growing wealth and economy or inequality in the country and all that different stuff.
Well, Anthony, I sympathize with your situation. I think you said you're working two jobs and you're trying to get an education. And you're focused, though, on the taxes. But my view is what we ought to be focused on is why do you have to work two jobs and why do you have to pay so much for education? What we need to do is make sure that the jobs you're doing are actually paying more. And that's why we need a $15 minimum wage, an expansion of the earned income tax credit, getting rid of stock buybacks so that people are actually being compensated for their productivity. If we did that, we would raise the wages you were earning and you wouldn't have to rely on two jobs. And then we need to make education in this country tuition-free so that you don't have to go into that debt. And my view is that if we had the right policies that would allow you to earn what you deserve based on your productivity and get the education you need, get the health care you need, that you wouldn't be concerned about some of the taxes. But the problem is not the tax. The problem is that we don't have the investments and spending for you to have the quality of life and the type of life you need.
We had a discussion last week about this, Congressman, with regard to the earned income tax credit, which was actually put into law, I believe, by Nixon, might have been Bush Sr., but it was a Republican president who supported it, and that the reason they supported it was much like food stamps and housing support and Medicaid, that these are essentially subsidies to low-wage employers. And it makes it easier for low-wage employers to justify their low wages. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a fair critique in terms of there is some of the subsidy going to the employer. The studies I've seen show that about 75 to 80% still goes to the worker.
It's all going to the worker, but it allows the employers to say, see, you know, these people are doing just fine, and we're paying them, you know, $8 an hour.
Yeah, and that's why I think it has to be coupled with an increase of the minimum wage to $15. So you can't just say, okay, we're going to do an expanded earned income tax credit and not have the floor.
Why not claw that back from the employer? Say, if you're paying less than $15 an hour, you, the employer, have to pay the earned income tax credit, the food stamps, the Medicaid portion of this employee.
That's Bernie in my bill. That's the Stop Bezos Act where we said that was the bill that we have to. If you're a company that's worth a lot and you're paying your employees less than a $15 minimum wage, taxpayers shouldn't be subsidizing all these benefits. And we got excoriated by the traditional liberal think tanks on that bill. And Jeff Bezos, in response to it, raised his wage to $15. But the argument is something actually both liberals and Republicans.
We got to hit a break here. Hello? Yeah, okay. Welcome back. Congressman Ro Khanna is with us, taking your calls for the hour. Congressman, we got stepped on the break. Did you want to finish a thought, or are we good?
I just wanted to say that it's something that people can understand on all sides of the ideological spectrum, that we shouldn't be subsidizing trillion-dollar corporations. They should be paying people enough of a wage that they don't have to rely on public subsidies.
Right. We shouldn't be subsidizing them via things like the earned income tax credit, food stamps, Medicaid. Not to do away with those programs, but that you know, to the extent that they have become subsidies, these companies should be paying for them.
Absolutely.
That's your bill with Bernie Sanders. Jerry in Federal Way, Washington. Jerry, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Oh, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I was just listening to the program, and he was talking about global warming. And I'm thinking that, like, yeah, the fossil fuel and all this and that's causing global warming, but the expansion of the population all over the world is going to contribute to global warming too, in that we got to grow food or meat and whatnot to feed everybody. What's your thoughts?
That the rise in population is also going to be a challenge for climate change? Is that your question?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I do think that there is a challenge in terms of population growth, but if we can move towards more energy-efficient ways of food production, if we can move towards solar and wind energy, if we can move towards electric vehicles, then I think we can address population, even the population growth, and I think we have to have thoughtful education on all of reproductive choices and family planning to make sure that people are in other parts of the world are educated about that. But it has to be a comprehensive solution, and I do think then we can get to a sustainable future even with the projected population growth.
William in Franklin, Kentucky, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I am absolutely honored to be talking to Tom Hartman and Ro Khanna. But
thank you,
let's see, we're talking about income inequality earlier. And we obviously need to raise minimum wage, right? So we raise minimum wage to inflation, try to tie it in with inflation, and then after that, or maybe even during the process of tying it into inflation, what if we tied it to market cap? Because this right here, in my opinion, it would keep us from, it would minimize the need to trust bust. So, for example, I would probably let a corporation have maybe 10% of the market cap before they had to start raising their minimum wage past what is tied to inflation. So, like, say, Amazon, you know, 50% of the market, internet online retail market cap, okay? Somebody like that would have to double their minimum wage. You know, if minimum wage is $15 an hour, why can't we double it to 30? And that way they have to pay their workers and it shrinks the corporation. You know, just get y'all's thoughts on that.
Well, I appreciate it. And I certainly agree with you on two points. One, then the minimum wage needs to be increased dramatically. If you look at worker productivity from 1979 to today, and if wages had increased to the level productivity has increased, the minimum wage would be around $22 to $24. I'm not saying we're going to get there as a minimum wage, but wages have not risen as productivity has risen. So I think as a start, you have a $15 minimum wage, but I do believe if you're a bigger corporation and you have more market cap, you should be asked to do more, just like we have progressive taxation. And instead of putting this money back into stock buybacks, you ought to be putting it into paying workers. And this is another bill I did with Bernie Sanders called the Stop Walmart Act, which is saying that before you can engage in any buybacks, you need to be putting that money to raise wages. And studies show that if they hadn't put that money into buybacks, they could have paid people starting out at $16.30 an hour. So I do think you're on to something. I don't want to excuse monopolization because there are other effects in communities when you have monopolies. But I do think you're onto something that companies with higher market caps should have a greater obligation to pay higher wages.
Yeah. Do you, we just have 30 seconds here to the break. Do you see, is there a broad consensus about this, or is this still something that is debated, the idea that these giant corporations, you know, we're kind of, in terms of market consolidation, we're back where we were in 1929 and in 1900. You know, is there a consensus that we need to do something about this?
There's an emerging consensus. I think people are more and more realizing the concentration in the pharmaceutical industry, in Wall Street, in parts of the tech industry, in hospitals, and that this is not just hurting wages, but it's also hurting small communities across this country, having local retailers, local shops go out of business. And it's a huge issue that we ought to address with stronger antitrust laws.
Amen. Amen. Congressman Ro Khanna, a vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus representing the 17th District of California, We'll be back with more of your calls for him right after this break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And Congressman Khanna's website is Khanna, khanna.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep, as in Representative, Rep Ro Khanna. 34 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars. On the line with us, Congressman Ro Khanna, taking your calls for the hour. Congressman, just a real quick one. Today, I understand, is the last day Congress can use a discharge petition to force a vote on the Trump administration's destruction of net neutrality. You think anything's going to happen there?
Unfortunately not. We've tried to use the discharge petition. We haven't gotten to 218. But we're going to do this when we have the majority, and we need to make it clear that this should be regulated under Title II of the Communications Act. Every American, just like you have access to your phone, should have access to the Internet, and that's all that net neutrality is.
Okay, amen. Jerry in Rochester, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Representative Khanna. We need money to save this planet from catastrophic climate change. We need it to educate. We need it for medical. Can we actually get some money from the military budget to use these? I mean, we've directly been involved in 18 Democratic government since 1953 with our military, and we're everywhere in the world. Can we put a rein on these guys? Is that possible? Most of that money is going to the elite, so I'm just wondering, is there any hope for that?
You know, I really appreciate your question, because I have been making this point that foreign policy restraint, foreign policy populism, is tied to economic populism. Over the last 15 years, we've spent at least $5.9 trillion on wars that haven't been in our national interest. The war in Iraq, staying for 18 years in Afghanistan, what we've done in Libya, what we did in Syria. Imagine if instead of that, we had put those resources into investing in education, into infrastructure, into healthcare, into building our communities in this country. You know, I was reading an article in the New York Times about the rise of China. And the fact that stood out to me is, over the last 40 years, China hasn't had a war. They haven't had a war since 1979. And yet today we have ground troops in 17 different countries around the world. So we need to have greater restraint in our military and be investing in people and in communities across this country.
Mark in East Point, Michigan, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, taking me off speaker.
Hello.
Yeah, I was thinking back on minimum wage and linking it to how much someone can inherit or gift to other people, be the same as what minimum wage is in a year, as in, you know, 40 hours a week times 50 hours times minimum wage, and that's how much in 1 year, one person can gift to another through inheritance or gifting. Or
are you suggesting, Mark, that wage, that annual income of it would work out to be around $30,000 a year or whatever, that everything above that in terms of inheritance should be taxed at 100%?
Well, actually, I'm not exactly sure if taxing it or just giving it back to the Fed as a repayment of the money that the U.S. government owes the Fed. You know, just because.
Okay.
Just looking at the minimum wage, and if it's good enough for work, it must be more than enough for doing nothing.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, look, I certainly think we ought to be paying people more, and I'm for taxing inheritance more. I don't think I would go as far as you're saying that people can only give $30,000 in inheritance, because I do think that people should have some ability to give money to causes that they care about, or their kids or their grandkids. But we should be taxing that more, and there's certainly it shouldn't be the type of concentration that you have now. But the bigger thing is that we should be having work pay more, and that there's no excuse for people who are working hard, who are productive, who are not getting compensated for their productivity.
John in Wyoming, Michigan, you're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Anyway, Sam, I'm on bumper sticker for you. Move to apprehend.
Okay. Was that your question?
And, no, my question is for the congressman. Sir, what is the Democratic Party going to do about all this law breaking, and why are the laws on the book not being enforced?
The law breaking by the administration?
By the administration on both sides of the aisle. How can we have faith in a government that doesn't even follow their own rules?
Well, I am very concerned about a lot of the administration's rule-breaking, and a lot of that hasn't been enforced because the Republicans control Congress and Senate, and they turned a blind eye to the abuses, on the border, to the abuses in banning Muslims from coming to this country, to the abuses of cabinet secretaries. I mean, the EPA administrator was traveling with 20 bodyguards. Most people don't even know who the EPA administrator is. We are now going to have a congressional majority. And someone said, should they conduct investigations or have a positive agenda? I said, we got to do both. Of course, we're going to have a positive agenda, but we also have a constitutional responsibility to check executive overreach and executive abuse. And I think you can expect that of the Democratic Congress, that we will hold the executive branch accountable, including the president.
Mick in Santa Cruz, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you again for your presence and the effect you're having in our world. My question is, why was the judge's order not honored when it came to the release of the children in the detention camps? And how do you think the status of our future domestic workers south of the border that are trying to get into this country and agricultural workers are going to be affected by legislation not moving in a positive direction?
Well, I think we need to be making sure that judges' orders are being enforced. And the Judiciary Committee, I know, which has Jerry Nadler on it and some of the greatest advocates for immigrant rights like Pramila Jayapal, are going to make sure that we ensure that agencies are following judicial orders, and if not, that we expose when they're not doing that. But I think the broader question about immigration from South America and Central America has to do in part with our own foreign policy. I mean, we supported a coup in Honduras. We destabilized in many ways Guatemala. So we need to figure out first how do we support those countries in their self-determination and their economic aspiration. And second, we just need to put into context the facts. I mean, the president, one of the biggest disservices he has done is he's making people think that millions of people are streaming into the our country. You know, last year we accepted 20,000 people as asylum seekers. 80% were denied. So this is a total manufactured crisis.
Hmm. Grace in Glendale, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi. My question for the congressman is that I work in medicine, and I see that a lot of the funding that comes in, I'm at a university, and all of the funding that comes in, a huge chunk of it comes from federal grants, but all of the money is still going to the top, and the wages for people in the regular working positions are incredibly low. So I'm just wondering, you know, are there rules potentially that we could do for pharmaceutical companies that get funded from the government, or research places that get funded, or nonprofit places that get government funding that requires higher wages for workers?
Sort of like that law that requires construction to be done at the prevailing wage. Is that the Davis-Bacon Act, as I recall?
Yes. Yeah, the Davis-Bacon Act for federal funding, you have to pay the prevailing wage. It's a very thoughtful idea. A couple points that support what you're saying. Of the 210 drugs that were approved by the FDA from 2010 to 2015, every single drug relied on NIH funding. Most of the innovation that's taking place, a lot of it is happening because of research that's being done by the NIH or at universities. So it's taxpayer dollars that are subsidizing the critical part of the development. These pharmaceutical companies, then, they're almost like Wall Street companies. I mean, what they're really doing is just marketing, and they're putting the money in to get go through the FDA approval process because they know how to navigate the system. but they're not doing a lot of the actual research and development. Their research and development dollars have been flat over the last 15 years. And a lot of this money then ends up with the profits going to the executives or shareholders in the form of stock buybacks. So I do think it makes sense that if these companies are benefiting from grants to have some responsibility to pay workers reasonably and also to have a responsibility to not charge more than the average price in five other industrialized countries. And that was Senator Sanders in my bill, which said that if you are charging more than what people are paying in Britain, France, Canada, Japan, then we're going to introduce generic competition.
Which seems like such a great idea. I mean, this just common sense stuff that you guys keep coming up with, and the Republicans keep blocking. It's crazy. Congressman Ro Khanna is taking your calls for the hour here on the Tom Hartman program. We'll be back with your calls for him. His website, Khanna, khanna.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Congressman Khanna is vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus and represents the 17th District of California. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Jim in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna. Jim?
Who?
Watching Free Speech TV. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Oh, Congressman Khan. I'm wondering, we see it in Portland all the time, how many homeless are out there, and what the heck can the Congress do to make it better? Because every time I drive down the road, I see people in tents. I'll take
Jim, thank you for your
off the road.
Yeah.
Thank you for your empathy and speaking out. It's a big problem in the Bay Area as well, where I live. There are several things we need to do. One, we need to invest in public housing and apartments and buildings that people can afford with reasonable rents. We just don't have enough of that housing. Second, we need mental health counseling and treatment, because a lot of folks who are homeless aren't getting that treatment, and they aren't getting that treatment because either Medicaid isn't covering it when you have private insurance involved with Medicaid, or their private insurance aren't covering it. We ought to have that. If we had Medicare for all and you had real health care for everyone, you would be able to get what you needed. And then we need programs that are going to help folks reintegrate into society by offering them counseling, by offering them some skills training, by offering them help with placement into a job. So it requires a comprehensive approach and investment, and some localities have been willing to do that, but in most states and the federal government haven't, and that's why I think we have such a chronic problem.
Chris in Ridgecrest, California, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, Tom, and hi, Congressman. I was going to ask, I got fired from Walmart a couple months ago, and they're the first company to deny me my unemployment, which I need to transition to another job. Is there any way or a proposition that could be put on the ballot to stop this? I mean, I basically got my car payment so cheap that if I was fired, I could afford them on unemployment, and they're even screwing me out of that. I don't know how they got this power. That's my money. I earned it. It should be mine just automatically. But how did they get this power? Is a corporation as a person, or can something be done about that?
Well, from what you described to me, it seems what they're doing is not legal. I mean, I would counsel you to approach your congressperson to make sure you have a representation of someone who understands labor law and that you're getting what you're entitled to. But my understanding is if you're laid off or fired, you are entitled to unemployment benefits, and a company can't deprive you of that, and that is the existing law, and you're not allowed to retaliate against individuals after you fire them or in ways if they are talking about getting their legally entitled compensation. So I would just encourage you to contact your representative and to make sure you understand your rights under labor law.
Yeah, it's possible that they simply challenge every single person who files for unemployment compensation. And if that's the case, then challenge it back. You know, they may back down. You think, Congressman?
I do. I mean, they may have just a cynical strategy of doing that and counting on people not exercising their rights.
Yeah, amen. Congressman Khanna, taking your calls. We'll be right back in just a second. Tom Hartman here with you. I was just reading a live read for blinkprotect.com/holiday, this new camera that's out. It's fascinating stuff. If you were listening on the nonprofit side, you were hearing a promo. Congressman Khanna taking your calls. Tyrone in New York City, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, how you fellas doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. My problem is, what are progressives, how far are they willing to go to stop this agenda of Donald Trump? We already know that these people knew that Trump was a liar, a cheater, and all the rest of the bad things you could think of. And they still voted him in office. So they're willing to do whatever it takes to get what they want, even if it means destroying our democracy. So I don't know how far we're willing to go to keep our democracy, because they already demonstrated what they're willing to do. We're taking away the vote, changing the rules, doing all of this stuff that they can to maintain power. My concern is, are we willing to make the sacrifice to get something that is going to maintain this democracy, to keep this country working in the way that it needs to, so that everybody could benefit, not just the 1% or the 2%.
Well, I appreciate your passion, and I think there are millions of Americans who share it. Many people have been taking it seriously with the Women's March, with the March for Science, with all these young people today flooding Capitol Hill, demanding action on a Green New Deal. I think that kind of citizen activism is why the Democrats won 41 seats, but we can't be complacent. We need to make sure that we continue this mobilization to 2020 so we can win back the White House and in the Senate. And we need people like you to hold us in Congress accountable to make sure that we are doing our constitutional duty with this administration, and that we are pushing forward messages and ideas and platforms that we campaigned on and that people want. But I'm ultimately hopeful about our democracy, and partly my hope stems from what happened in the midterms, where we saw this mobilization winning seats that people never thought we could. I mean, in California, we went to a delegation now that has 46 Democrats and 7 Republicans, and every expert in the state said you could never get Republicans under 10. So something is changing in this country.
Rick in New York City, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna. Rick?
Oh, hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, Congressman. I never really understood why you didn't run for Speaker. I was wondering why you didn't.
I'm flattered by that, but this is going to be my second term, and I know it's in vogue with Trump for folks to think they don't need experience. I still think some experience and having some time in doing your job is a good thing. So I'm eager to support great progressives, working with people like Bernie Sanders, and I think Nancy Pelosi is going to do a good job. I'm more progressive on a number of issues than her, and I will make that clear. Two places where I do want to make clear is one of the worst things we could do is have this PAYGO rule, which is would require the House to negotiate with itself, and I really hope the leadership backs away from that. We shouldn't have to account for spending cuts or revenue for things we pay for, want to do, when the Republicans don't do it for what they want to do.
Rich in Mission Viejo, California. You're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna. Rich?
Hello?
Yeah, you're
Hello.
On the air.
Hi. Okay, thank you, Tom. Basically, I wanted to...
Rich, can you... Yeah, I can hardly hear you. Can you put your mouth right next to your microphone, please?
Okay, I'm sorry. I believe that the tar sands, which are extremely corrosive, they're going across Dakota pipelines, and I think they're going right across the Ogallala water preserves, which feeds 3 or 4 states with water. What happens to the people who are affected if this water preserve gets contaminated. They already have a small town in Dakota that basically the people had to move out of because they had a bad leak which contaminated their water. But if this contaminates the water for three or four states, I mean, what are the people going to do for water?
You know, you're absolutely right, and it's what's mind-boggling to me is we live in the richest, most powerful country ever invented in human history, and at some point one has to ask, what's the point of that if you can't have a good quality of life with clean air and clean water in the communities you live? What's the point of being the richest country if we can't do that? And the reason we don't have that is because the people who often are making money on the Dakota pipelines or on these factory farms and large agribusinesses, they conveniently don't live near the operations. They don't live near the pipelines. They're living miles and miles, in some cases hundreds of miles away. And I just think we have to continue to have citizens mobilize and say, when it comes to the quality of life of basic clean air and clean water and a decent environment, we can't sell that out to corporate interests or rich individuals who aren't even living in these communities.
Congressman, it's just 40 seconds till the end of this hour. Thoughts on what's coming up in the next week that we should keep our eye on or opportunities for activism that people should be attending to?
Well, I really think this rules package, it's an arcane issue, but it's going to define how the House operates. And there are two parts of the rules that really concern me. One, as I mentioned, is this PAYGO issue. The House shouldn't be negotiating with itself in requiring spending cuts for anything we propose. Second, there are some people who are pushing to have us continue the Republican rule that would require a supermajority for tax increases on 80 if the taxes impacted the bottom 80% of wage earners. That's terrible policy, and it would preclude us for doing things like Medicare for All. So I very much hope that in this rules package we don't hamstring progressive values, and I hope your listeners will pay attention to that.
Great. Thank you so much, Congressman Khanna. Thanks you so much
Thank
for dropping by today. Great talk.
Thank you.
My pleasure. We'll be back. We're going to check in with, Dr. Stephanie Kelton is going to be with us of Modern Monetary Theory on the Green New Deal, and we'll continue picking up your calls and more news of the day.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.